Not gonna lie, so when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you don't want to be like these
friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
For him, I know that, right? Saga, who was on,
rap on the same
top
beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So, like, you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
show. And I tweeted, like, last week that someday I'm going to have a song with him. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell, and this is the Mitch Durrell Show. Today, I got my homie from Canada, Fano. What's up, my guy?
What's going on, bro? How you doing?
I'm great, man. I was just, we had a technical difficulty because I've never interviewed someone from Canada before, and I guess Zoom automatically sets it to only allow U.S. Users, so I had to go in there and edit, so sorry about that.
Nah, it's all good, bro. It happens. It happens. Technical difficulties happen, you know?
Right, exactly. So tell me, easy first question that I ask everybody, how did you find Christ? How did you end up in the church?
That's a great question. So I grew up in a Catholic family. Mm-hmm. So the name of Christ was there, but I never knew like this side of Christianity existed.
Right.
In terms of like biblical Christianity. And then just a lot of my friends were just preaching to me. A couple of my friends were just preaching to me like the gospel, and I'm like, yo, this makes sense. Cause like growing up, I'm like, Jesus makes sense, but like all these traditions and stuff that you guys do make no sense. And mm-hmm. I'm asking them questions, and they're just like, Yeah, my mom did this, my dad did this. It's just like it's like a tradition passed on.
Right.
And they never had like real answers. And then when I asked those same questions to my friends, they literally directed me to the Bible, and they're like, look, this is what God's word says. And like, you know. And like this is amazing.
Right. I like that a lot. Because I never want to call myself, you know, like Catholic bashing or whatever, because honestly, I'm just happy when people believe in God. At least that's the base. But it is interesting to hear that you weren't getting all your questions answered. And then once like biblical answers were being given to you, it was like, oh, this actually makes sense. This explains it instead of just tradition.
Exactly. Exactly.
So on the other end, how did you find hip hop? Or just music in general? Were you always a rap fan? Did you find music and then you eventually found hip hop?
Yeah, man. So I've been around like music my whole life because my dad's actually a musician.
Really?
He's a bass guitarist and guitarist. He plays a little keys too. So great. I was introduced to music at a very young age. Like when I was like 4 or 5 years old, he put me into piano lessons. But during that age, I wasn't really into music. I was more into like sports.
Right.
So I enjoyed listening to music, but in terms of like playing and stuff, like I didn't think it was for me.
Right.
And then like right before high school, like eighth grade, I started like writing music. Mm-hmm. Like this is way before I was saved.
Right.
I got saved when I was like 21.
Okay.
21.
How old are you?
In the eighth grade, 26 now.
Okay. Gotcha.
So back in the eighth grade, I was like, what, 12, 13 around there. I was like writing music, you know what I mean, like getting instrumentals of my favorite music and
right.
writing my own remixes.
Yeah.
And then in high school I started rapping, and yeah, and then I just fell in love with like the culture and everything about it, man.
Very dope. So it's always cool to hear how you go from music to hip-hop, and then from hip-hop to, how did you learn about Christian hip-hop, and how did you know, you said you got saved around 21, 22, how did you end up finding like, yo, there's Christians who make this type of music?
Yeah, so my friend that actually introduced me, like one of my friends that I told you about that introduced me to Christ, actually mm-hmm. showed me like Lecrae, showed me Andy, showed me like all these guys, and I'm like, yo, this is dope. Like they make dope music. Like it's actually dope. It's not like corny or anything. Like
right.
it's actually good. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, I enjoy listening to this. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
So when did you start? Because when you were writing raps before, I'm guessing it wasn't necessary, like it was more secular maybe. So what
yeah.
made you want to start saying, yo, I can make this type of music?
What's good, this is Joe Silo from Enoch Flow Records.
Hey, this is Jay Fish from Enoch Flow Records,
and you're listening to the Mitch Durrell Show. Let's get it.
So honestly, man, like I was in a point of like, I would say like as soon as I got saved, I just wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looked like in my mind. I'm just like, God, I want to serve you. And I've been praying. I was praying for like 6 months straight. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then that moment where I'm just like, God, I don't care what I do for you. I just want to serve you. And then I felt this conviction saying, like, I want you to do music. And I'm just like, me again? Like, I was like, no, no, I don't want to. And then because I started remembering like the secular stuff that I used to do. I'm like, I got worried, right? I'm like, no, I don't think I want to do this. And then that's when like my friends introduced me to Christian hip hop. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this in a good way where it edifies the church and it can encourage, or it can even be a tool for a non-believer.
Got you. So what exactly is the hip hop scene like in Canada? Because like jokes aside, when most people think Canada hip hop, they think Drake and then that's about it, you know? So like, what is there much of a scene up there? Was it always more looking towards United States for rap? Is there a big scene in Canada that people just don't know about, you know?
Yeah, so hip-hop, like, it was very influenced by New York, I'd say Toronto, because, like, New York's right there.
Right there.
And it's, like, very similar demographic, and also, like, it's a lot of Caribbean influence because of, like, how many, like, Caribbeans there are in Ontario, like, where the region where I'm at.
Right.
And then I'd say more like in this era, I'd say R&B is more prevalent in Toronto,
right?
Like that R&B sound more than the hip hop side. Cause like you said, everyone just thinks Drake and that's it. But then like everyone else is pretty much R&B or pop, right? Like you got Weeknd, you got Justin Bieber, Party Next Door. Those are all more like R&B side, you know, hip hop. You got some people, you got Belly's from Toronto. And then Drake, and then a couple other people.
So, yeah. I've seen you say this a lot on Twitter. You feel like there's a lot of talent in CHH, in Canada, you know, CHH, that you feel like gets slept on. Why do you think that is? So, like, I got one of the guys I'm close with is Scribe Music, and he has the same sentiment that, like, there's so much talent up here, but it gets kind of looked over. Why do you think that is?
I think because we don't have like a big media outlet here. Like media outlets in the States are prevalent and they're huge. Like Rapzilla, you got Trackstars, you got a lot of these places. Canada, we don't really have that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we just have those outlets pretty much. And on the Christian side of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't really have any big coverage. And I don't know. And Canada is very like, in terms of like population, it's like what, 36 million compared to 360 million.
Yeah.
So like the number, like even when I go on my Spotify, like I have more US listeners than like Canada.
Canada.
You know what I mean?
That's interesting. Do you think people in Canada like rock with hip hop? Like, do you think there's more? Because I guess a joke would be that like, oh, no one in Canada even knows what hip hop is. But it's like, do you think there's a decent portion of people in Canada that like rock with it, or is it like, oh nah, I have to reach outward like from here to find fans?
No, we definitely have like a big hip hop base here, like fan. Like a lot of people that I personally know, like their favorite genre is hip hop. You know what I mean? Like everywhere I've went, whether that's school, that's work, that's church, like a lot of people love hip hop. It's just that maybe Christian hip hop is not really that big. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
that is very small.
I feel like Christian hip hop in Canada is like in its baby stages in terms of like development.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, no, you continue.
Like we don't have that big figure. Like, you know what I mean? Like we don't have a Lecrae here, like someone as big as that, or you know what I mean?
Right.
If we do, it's on the secular side.
Yeah. I feel that. I think so. I was going to name like some of the names I think about. There's few, but they're talented. Like I automatically think of Drew Bex.
Yeah.
Not Clyde's from up there, right?
Yeah, Not Clyde's from Vancouver. So like Scribe's side, West side.
Got you. Yeah, then Scribe and you. So who would you say are some of like the bigger, or just like CHH artists in Canada, or like some of the bigger ones, or ones you really rock with? Some people might not know.
100%. You got Cortez. Cortez is like he's one of my best friends. That's my brother. He's crazy talented.
Great though.
He's doing more R&B pop right now. Like he has some hip hop songs, but mostly R&B pop. Mm-hmm. There's Charlene Nash. She's an R&B singer as well. She's from Toronto as well, like Brampton, or like a city called Brampton mm-hmm. near Toronto. You got one of my friends. His name is Dario D. Mm-hmm. Dario D Music, he goes by. He's really dope too. Bro, yeah, there's a lot, man.
I honestly feel like,
yeah,
it's almost like when people think of Canada, since it's one name, we just think of like, oh, Canada. Like I said, oh, not Clyde's from up there, and you're saying what part he's from. It's like, I wouldn't even thought. So it almost feels like it would be helpful if y'all could all like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, if there's a way to kind of point out all the Canadian Christian hip hop artists, I like kind of like group y'all together and kind of like show who all is there. You know what I'm saying? Like kind of pinpoint like these
100%.
People from Canada.
100%.
Yeah. So let's see. Here's something I wrote down. I said, not rapping anymore, question mark. But is that true? So I remember recently, you've been saying that you're no more rapping. You're not going to rap anymore. You're just going to go kind of the, what route are you trying to go more, or what has, you know, made you start saying, oh, I'm not going to really be rapping anymore?
Well, me and my main producer, Ezzo, we collabed on this EP called Nights Like This. And it's an R&B tape.
Right.
Mixed with pop and dance music. It's like a fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was kind of part of the rollout too. Like I do enjoy rapping.
Right.
Like I do, but I feel like even like when dropping like my previous music, my previous catalog, the R&B music had more like impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Than the hip hop side. I still love hip hop. It's like literally that's what I started as, like making music. So that's like my first love in terms of that. So I still want to do it, but like not as much.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Once you naturally, you kind of like gravitate towards what gets the most traction, even if it's not even necessarily what you like doing the most. Like, example, I have some of my songs that do the best are like my fast, like speed rap songs, which I like doing, but it's not my favorite. Yeah. But also, if it's affecting it, like a lot of people are listening to it and they like it, I'm gonna keep making these speed rap songs. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Exactly. So it definitely makes sense if people are rocking more with your melodic stuff. Even if you still love rapping, I see why you'd be like, I'm gonna make more of this because this is what's popping, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it also to challenge me to like make me come out of my comfort zone and be like, okay, like I wanna be great at this side of my like skill set.
Right.
And yeah. I also wanna be like known as a versatile artist as well.
Smart. You're trying to be Drake. No. So you we're on a song that came out today that I had already heard on Thomas Iannucci's.
Yeah.
He sent me that a while ago because he was like, yo, we got Selah on this and then Faino. And I was like, he said you were rapping on there. And that was around the time you were like, I'm not rapping no more. So I was like, that don't make sense. But that track is super dope, man.
Nah, thank you, bro. Like me and Thomas go way back like 4 years, I think, man.
Really?
Like as soon as I dropped my second single is called False Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I put it down. But he messaged me and he hit me up and we've been talking on like IG or like text messages like since then. That was like 2017.
Dang.
And like we've always been like, yo, we got to get a track in together. We got to get a track in together. And like 4 years later, we finally got one.
I got one.
Like we've been trying. It's like, yo, let's do this. And it's like it never ended up like working out. So we finally got this one. And I'm like, okay, I'm not trying to rap like that, but okay. I'll do it for you.
That's cool.
You know?
It is dope too, just how like the way things work now that even like in a pandemic, like you're from Canada. Thomas is my homie too. It's been like probably 3 years. He lives in Hawaii. I've never been out there. Probably never will, to be honest. I mean, maybe someday. But like how you can be considered someone a friend who's so far away and like make a song with somebody that's so far away. I think that's super cool. And why Christian hip hop's so dope, because it's like it's small, it's a subgenre, but we're all over the place.
You
make actual friends in the genre.
Oh, 100%. And that's what I love about it too. That thing, that's what encouraged me the most. It's like you got a people that rock with you. It's not like, yo, you're a competition.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. It's like, yo, you make Christian music, you're dope. Okay, I wanna be your friend before even like making music.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like there's genuine people out there and I feel like Thomas is one of those guys, you know what I mean? And he's not like, yo, you have clout. I don't have clout at all, but I'm saying like, you have clout, let me make music with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Completely feel that.
And you can actually tell through the music, in my opinion, like when everything fits organically. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like a paid feature, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No knock on people that do that, but yeah.
No, I feel that. So what would you say is, like, do you have a goal for your music? So that's something I've always kind of tried to figure out. And I've actually kind of learned I have multiple goals. Like, I've been doing, like, rap should be fun because rap is fun. I do it because if it weren't fun to me, I wouldn't be rapping, period. But there's also other things I can do with it, reaching, teaching, impacting in all these different ways. So what would you say are the reasons that you make music?
Not to sound cliche, but like obedience to God, because like he called me to do it. And every time, like, bro, every time I'm like, I'm done with this, I quit, someone DMs me like, yo, your music has impacted me and has done this to me. And I'm just like, and I feel like that's God saying, like, I'm not done with you.
Yeah.
That and my love for music is just fun. Like me, like recently I just been working with my best friends in mm-hmm. terms of music, and like it's just been fun. Like we've been doing like FaceTime sessions or in-person sessions, or like we'd rent an Airbnb and just like make music together,
right?
Like for a whole weekend, and it's just fun. Like it's just fun to me. Like you said, you just have fun doing nice. It. I just feel like a kid, you know what I mean? Just
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? B Plus here. Thank you so much for checking out yet another Recap Countdown video. I have a great one prepared for you. As always, we're going to be taking a look at Mission's latest project entitled Less Is More. Now, Mission is a vet in this Christian hip-hop space. He's been around for quite a few years. I actually kind of categorize him more on the gospel rap side of things. But however you categorize him, one thing is for sure, he keeps getting better and better and better. If this is your first time checking out Mission's work, you're in for a treat. Now, if this is your first time checking out a Recap Countdown video, really quickly, here's how I run things. I give you my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and I'll round everything out with one final recap. Once again, thank you so much for being here. Make sure you hit the like button and subscribe to the channel, and let's get into this Recap Countdown.
5 bars.
Ain't no woman like the one I got. You know, if I had them packs on me, she'd spin that block. Okay. If I pass her the blick, she'd take that shot. But it says she prayed for me when the things got hot. Yeah. They were like, if I've been going hard, I probably should sleep. I know I just ate, but I still gotta eat. I pull up to the table, they had them a beat. I don't say what I'm planning, I'm moving discreet. I spit it with passion, I'm moving the streets. Y'all moving with snakes, y'all John Creese. I had to sit up and pray in the morning. Please do not hit me unless it's important. I'm interested in making a fortune. You got a spot on the team if you're fortunate. I let it come when it comes, you force it. I'm trying to walk out my faith, that's enforcing. Oh, how many times I'ma say it ain't for me? Okay. Say he's still mad cause my mom made it bore me. Okay. Yeah. He got a bag and taking care of his kids. I have to tell him he's just chasing what the stigma is. Yeah. Threw some cash at his wife, he got her hair pins and her nails pins. Working together, they been handling the business. This for the ones committing offenses. This for the victim, it's for the addicted. This for the dealers, this for the ones that thought they sins ain't fit forgiveness. This for the ones that's not mentioned. This for the poor, this for the riches. This for the ones that wanna die, but we need you to keep on living.
Now, Mission is one of those rappers that when he speaks, is really coming from a very real and genuine place. I really liked his line on Diamond, where he placed a very high importance of a praying wife in your life, and that goes for both spouses. That's a very important thing. Next up, I like his line on Generally Speaking 3. I like the John Creese Karate Kid reference there. That one really stood out to me. Okay, so next up, I really enjoyed the entire song I'm Back, but the particular line that I've chosen there, I really enjoyed it just because it talked about every area of life. I mean, we pray, we work hard, we dream big, but ultimately we leave it up to God, and it's in his hands for just how things kind of turn out, and we don't force anything. Okay, so the bar so what, so,
yeah. No, sorry, continue, my bad.
No, I'm saying, yeah, just like the love of it, obedience to God, and I'd say like you never know who you could impact, you know what I mean? You never know who's out there. Like, bro, you could impact one person that's probably like, you know what I mean, like going through depression or going through anything, you know what I mean, that this music could, God could use it to heal them.
Amen. Heck, bro. So on the opposite end of that, what is something about, because you just referenced even thinking about quitting. So what are the things about being an artist that makes you be like, yo, I don't know if I want to keep, because I think all of us kind of go through that at least once where we're like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. Like, what is it about being an artist that can take a toll like that?
I think it's just so draining, bro. Like you're pouring so much out. You know what I mean? Especially if you're like being authentic in your music and you're just telling your story. Mm-hmm. You're just pouring so much of yourself out that you get burnt out. Facts. In my opinion, that if you don't get burnt, I mean, if you don't get poured into as equally, then it can be you can be in a dangerous situation where you're just like completely burnt, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's happened to me, bro. That's happened to me. And it's like, yo, I gotta, like, you know, everyone's like, yo, you gotta be consistent. You gotta keep dropping everything. So like your mind is always on that. And you're like, you're just working, and you don't give yourself rest.
Yeah.
You don't have those seasons of rest, you know what I mean? Where you can just recuperate, live life, get more life experience, and that way you can make more music.
Exactly. That's why I don't get mad at, you know, obviously I'm a big Kendrick Lamar fan, and he might be an excessive example because he's got the luxury to take as long as he wants, but like it's been like 4 years since his last project, and people get mad. Like somebody the other day was like, I feel like he's lazy. But I'm like, you gotta think about it. Like, if you're on like on top of the world, like famous, like people are calling you the best rapper of this generation, you have to do a lot of resting between like your last project that you dropped and all the working songs, yeah, touring, and then you have to rest, find time to live life again while being famous, you know, and make new music that lives up to that, right? So
exactly,
you go through that at a lower level, but it's like, I can't imagine being famous, having tens of millions of fans and people expecting like, when's the next thing gonna drop? Like, we need it like now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could easily get burnt out with the fame. So even at our lower level, it's still like, we're trying to get, not necessarily famous, but we're trying to like make it, or like, you know, at least make a living, or like reach
exactly
a bit higher than we are, you know?
Exactly.
It's a lot of, we gotta be consistent. I'm trying to make better music. And like, you don't even have the big fan support to kind of like keep you going. You know, you get maybe like one or two every couple of weeks or something. So I definitely agree with you on getting burnt out, and if you're not getting poured into or time to rest. And we have little time to rest because we're new young artists trying to like pop off, you know what I'm saying? So
exactly. Yeah, man. And I think, yeah, just giving yourself to rest, and also taking your time with like making music. Like, you don't want to just make something quick just to drop it.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to make sure that is great quality music, because at the end of the day, that's like your brand, and as well, like the Bible says, do everything in excellence. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Like, we don't want to pass on something just to drop something and just be like, yo, I'm just dropping something just to be relevant.
Just to be relevant. Yep. We all get into the, you know, we get caught into the numbers game, of course, where it's like, when you have a lot of artist friends, you know, like perfect example is at the end of the year is always the Spotify numbers. And it's like, well, I have to keep up. Like, I catch myself sometimes during the year thinking like, I wonder what my end of year thing's going to look like. I wonder if it's going to compare to such and such. You know, it is like,
yeah,
it's not even about that, because one, none of us are making anything off streams anyway. But two, it's like, it's way less about that number and more about what did you actually do? Like, there's a story behind those numbers. What produce those numbers, what work went behind that, who did you actually impact, those numbers or people, that type of thing. So if we get caught up in the just the numbers and the streams, that can also make you want to be like, I can't do this.
Yeah, that's a losing game, you know what I mean? Like, instead of focusing on what you can control, is like making great music, obviously marketing and stuff like that, you just got to focus what you can control, right? Like, right. We can't force people to listen to our music at the end of the day. Like, our job is just to put it in front of as many people as possible.
Yep.
And then that's their job, whether they like it or not. You know what I mean?
Amen, man. So tell me, I asked this question to everybody, and it was kind of dying down, but now it's back up, I guess, the pandemic, right? So think back to like the beginning of it, which feels like forever ago now. How did like 2020 and the beginning of this year, how did the pandemic affect you making music and just like in your life? How did it affect you as a whole?
Personally, it didn't really affect me, to be honest. The only thing that it affected was like live shows,
right?
But everything else was like, if anything, I got more opportunities to work on music, because a lot of, like, even like my friends, like, what other, they were working from home, or like they were in the process of like moving jobs.
Right.
So like they were still at home, so they had more time to work on music. And then just, it allowed you to go think outside the box in terms of like pushing out your music. You know what I mean? Like, how can I promote my music? Everyone, like majority of people are at home or they're working from home. So that big time where people listen to music is that commute.
Facts. Yeah. That's
from home to school, or from home to work, work to home, or even like people at the gym, you know what I mean? Gyms were shut down too. So those are like big, big places where people listen to music a lot. So it's like, we had to be very like on point in terms of like, yo, how can I push this music?
Right.
In a creative way.
That's a fact. I definitely, you know, I want it to end, but I know it's not going to end unless things get like better. Like, it's not just going to go away. So we have to like, either vaccines got to be, you know, more people need to get them, or they need to become more effective, or we need to actually quarantine when they tell us to. Like, whatever we have to do to get it to like semi-normal is what I want. Because what seemed to happen this past time, aside from like the variant, was like, oh, now we get to go back and do shows and Lollapalooza and all this. And then it's like, oh, this led right back to another wave and we got to be inside again. So I don't want it to be like periodic, you know, like up and down, like, oh, we get to go outside for a month. Now we got to be back inside. So praying that it goes away. I haven't performed in forever. It's been a long time for me. So,
bro, yeah, I miss it, man. I think that's the thing I miss about the most, especially with the new music.
Right.
Like, I definitely, I'm just itching to perform those, but at the same time, we got to be wise. You know what I mean?
Facts, man.
You don't want to,
Speaking of new music, so are you working on anything in particular? So, you're working on anything now? You dropped anything recently that you want to plug?
Yeah, so I just dropped the EP. Mm-hmm. It was July 16th. We dropped the EP called Nights Like This.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total experience, man. Like, from beginning to the end, we actually sampled my dad on the intro track.
Really?
Like, on the guitar and the bass, which was pretty cool. And then, yeah, just R&B pop music mixed with dance. And the way we made the music is like, if you listen from beginning, the intro track to the end,
mm-hmm.
it all feels like one big song because of the transitions. Everything just blends in seamlessly and it just feels like an experience. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely proud of, I think that's my favorite project that I've made.
So Fano's never gonna rap again. He's done with the rap.
here and there.
Very dope, man. You know, this is random. I was thinking about how, I don't know if you remember the day, like, this probably would have been close to a year ago, that I did the FaceTiming people and then saying, yo, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Dude, sometimes I go back and watch it, but I laugh at yours so much because I don't know if you remember what you did, but you were like, what's up, man? I was like, yo, I'm busy right now. Can I call you right back? And you were like, oh, no, you're fine. I was like, can I call you right back? You're like, yeah. And I was just like, that didn't work at all. Like, you had no idea.
Yeah, bro, you just caught me off guard. I was like, bro, I think I was in the middle of something, so I'm like, yo, whatever.
And I've never FaceTimed you before, so you'd have been like, what does he need? That was the funniest thing to me, man. Oh my goodness.
We Canadians are too nice, bro.
Facts, that's a fact. we definitely got to get a song together at some point. So that's going to happen. I don't know when or how, but it's kind of like you and Thomas, like, we're going to make it happen. So tell the people how they can find your music, where they can, if you got a website, your social apps, anything like that.
Yeah, for sure, man. You can check me on Spotify, Apple Music under Faino, or at any streaming platform, YouTube, PHAINO. And then on socials, PHXINO. I replaced the A with the X because someone else had that name and I've been trying to get it, but they blocked me. So...
Oh no!
I'm gonna just stick with the PHX. I know that's on Instagram and Twitter.
Very dope, man. So I gotta, you know, shout out Daryl from Bookkeeper for giving me this show. This might be the first episode of season 3. Honestly, I don't even know. That's why I didn't even say it. It might be season 2, episode 11, or season 3. You might be the first one. We'll figure that out. But shout out Daryl. We're like 20 episodes strong, so this is super dope. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Tune in next time, and peace.
Peace.
Not going to lie. So when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you don't want to be, like...
Friends. Indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was on...
rap on the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical, so like you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
show. And I tweeted like last week that someday I'm gonna have a song with him. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen.